Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. In every way try to please him at home, at school, at play. A sunbeam, a sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam. Sunbeam for him. Jesus wants me to be loving and kind to all I see, showing how pleasant and happy his little one can be. A sunbeam, a sunbeam. Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam. I'll be a sunbeam for
everyone, and welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I can see the children in our Sunday school ministry singing that wonderful song. It's a great song. First time I ever heard an adult sing it. I've always heard children sing it, but of course that's George Beverly Shea. He can sing anything. Well, we are in our 11th series of the year. We are looking at the scripture text in Isaiah 54:17, which reads, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, again, we rejoice in you, praise you, we acknowledge you, we worship you, we seek you, we follow you, we serve you. Now, Lord, bless us today as we turn to your word to be fed again from the manna that comes from heaven. Bless us, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This week's series title is Every Manufactured Weapon and Every Evil Tongue Will Fail Against Thee. Today, we're looking at that portion of the text which is in green. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Well, what is it? Well, what is it? Well, two things. This is referring to the first gift from God, which is in blue, and the second gift from God, which is in red. This thing is what? Total protection. Total protection from man, that no matter what weapon men may forge in their blacksmith factories, their weapons will not prosper against us. And every tongue, whether it be a human tongue or a devilish tongue, every tongue that rises up against you with a false accusation shall be what? Shall come to naught. This blessing that God will protect you from the weapons of men and the tongues of devils, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I have here today, March the 16th, Thursday, March 16th, I have it here in the Amplified Bible. On top, it's the King James, but on the bottom, Amplified Bible, this is how it reads. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant, referring to Jesus, the Lord is reproduced. Jesus is being reproduced in you. Jesus is being reproduced in me. And since he is, and we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, our heritage or our gift from God is to be protected from man and to be protected from devil. Now, if you look at the little picture I have there on the left-hand side, you have the cross of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus who hung on the cross for us. And then we transfer something to him. He transfers something to us. What's in green is he transfers to us his righteousness. His righteousness is credited to us. Our guilt is credited to him on the cross. Now let's look at this through three scriptures in Romans. First, let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20. Romans 3, 9 through 20. Because here the Bible teaches that all have sinned, Jews and Gentiles alike. All have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, starting at verse 9 and ending at verse 20, thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
So there you have it. Verse 19. Now we know that the things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be what? Stopped. And the whole world found guilty before God. You can hire the best attorney. The best attorney is not going to argue your way out of hell. No. Every mouth will be stopped. No matter what argument you present before our righteous judge, the Lord our God, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Now, God gives us a divine human advocate. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Lord Jesus. So no human lawyer, no human lawyer can get you off the hook. Jew and Gentile alike, all shall be found declared guilty before God. And this is why in the picture above, you have Satan, who's accusing the young man in the picture, Jesus advocating for him, and standing, Satan is standing behind the Ten Commandments. That's the law. So again, therefore, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, who can keep the Ten Commandments? No one. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. It's the law that tells us we have broken God's commandments and we have no way of dealing with our sins. When you go to the next scripture, which is Romans 5, Romans 5 tells you how to get right with God, Romans 5:1. Now, Romans 3 tells us we're all in trouble with God, Jew and Gentile. All men, no matter what family they come from, tribe, ethnicity, lineage, family tree, it makes no difference. Adam has imputed the sin nature unto all his descendants, and all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. So Romans 3 tells us the whole world is plunged into sin. And as a result of being plunged into sin, the penalty is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now here in Romans 5, turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through whom? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does the term justified mean? That word justified. Well, the word justified is a forensic word. A forensic word is a word that's used in court. It's a legal term. So the word justified is a legal term related to the idea that God has acquitted us. He has found us not guilty. Justification, therefore, refers to the divine act whereby God makes humans who are sinful and therefore worthy of condemnation acceptable before him who is holy and righteous. Let me repeat that. When Paul says here, therefore being justified by faith, the word justified means right standing. Therefore, being given right standing with God by faith, the term justification refers to the divine act. This is God's doing. The divine act whereby he makes humans who are totally sinful and therefore worthy of condemnation, he makes them acceptable before his presence. He declares them holy and righteous. To be justified is to be pronounced, accepted, and treated as being a just individual. Now, you and I know that we are not just. We're sinful. But in Christ Jesus, you see, what happens is, by faith, you transfer to Christ your guilt. And by faith, he transfers to you his righteousness. So now, his righteousness becomes your righteousness, and therefore, you have right standing with God. Whereas before, you didn't have right standing with God. This is the heritage. This is the gift that God gives to his servants. This gift, as the Amplified Bible puts it, is peace of mind, righteousness, and security, triumph over opposition. What opposition, you say? Well, the men who are forging their weapons and the tongue that Satan is wagging. You see, God's justification gives us peace. This is the heritage. This is a gift. This is what God bequeaths to his children who are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The very fact that you have been what? Justified. Now remember, All of us are worthy of condemnation. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. We are saved by grace. What's grace? Unmerited favor. You don't deserve to be saved. But he saves you. Why? Because he transfers to you Christ's righteousness, and he has you transfer your guilt to Christ. This is why Christ died on the cross. He died in your place. He died for your sins. Again, let's go to the first epistle of John. Let's go to First John 2, because we only read a portion of it yesterday. We didn't read all of it. So today we want to read all of it. 1 John chapter 2, let's turn there. The first epistle of John, chapter 2. And it says, 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an attorney. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the only righteous one. And he is the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he's the only payment for our sins. You can't pay for your sins. Your mother can't pay for your sins. Your father can't pay for your sins. Only Christ is our propitiation. And not only for our sins, but also he is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. If the whole world were to turn to Christ in faith, his blood would cover every sin ever committed. Ever committed. So notice, it's his blood that cancels out our sins. And once they're canceled out, then now God declares you acquitted. He declares you to be righteous. That's the word justification. Again, it's a legal term in which God declares the sinner who believes in Christ righteous. It is an act of God. It is a divine act. Now, having read Romans chapter 5, 1, let's go to 5, 9. Let's go to Romans 5, 9, because we're not done with Romans 5. It says, much more than being now justified by his blood. Notice, how are we justified? By his shed blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So again, you didn't save yourself. Your works didn't save you, because by means of the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. We are justified because of what Jesus did on the cross. By faith, we put our trust in his vicarious atonement, and because he has atoned for our sins, he transfers to us our righteousness as we transfer to him our guilt. Now, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we want to start reading at verse 31. Remember, this is your heritage. This is a gift. This is one of the many gifts that Christ gives to you, that no human being or group of human beings could ever harm you. And even the devil himself, that prosecuting attorney who lures us into sinning, who baits the trap, and who rejoices when we fall for it, thinking that now he can run up to heaven and say, look, I got a photograph. I got evidence. I got proof. I've got, here it is, God. Here's the evidence. And when Satan accuses us, and rightly so, Jesus says, I've got that sin covered. Got that sin covered. So Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 31, and we'll read up to verse number 34. Romans 8, 31 through 34.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
How do we know God's for us? Well, he set up the whole salvation program. Not only did he set up the salvation program, he sent his son to die on the cross, to execute the salvation program, to get the ball, as they say, proverbially rolling. God, when Christ died on the cross, God got the ball rolling. Then you put your trust in Christ, you transfer to him your guilt, he transferred to you your righteousness, and so now Satan can accuse you day and night, and it will be of no effect. Why? Because that's your gift, that's your heritage from the Lord. That gift gives you peace of mind, it gives you security, it gives you victory over every wagging tongue. And over every desire of man to just do away with you. So what shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one. The biggest person in the universe who wants our demise and who schemes it every day is Satan. And Satan can't put you down. Satan can't destroy you. Even Peter, when he was at his worst, when the Lord needed him most at the Lord's Supper. Simon, Simon, you don't realize, but Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I have interceded for you. So again, let's read verse 32 of Romans 8.
He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
Notice, God had to send a son. His son had to be a lamb that had to be slaughtered, a lamb that had to spill its blood. Jesus did that. Jesus went to the cross. God gave us not just the plan of salvation, but the person who would execute the plan, and he actually executed it. Verse 33.
Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies.
You see, Satan can run up to heaven all he wants to accuse you. Who's going to run up to heaven? Who's going to lay a charge against you? Doesn't Satan realize that the judge is on your side? It's the judge. It's God who justifies. It's God who has bequeathed to you, who has given you this prize, this gift in Jesus, that you would be justified, that you would be given right standing. Who is this nut? Who's this person who keeps running up to heaven, accusing the brethren day and night? Who is he? It's for naught. Why? Because it is God who justifies. Satan, listen to me, saints. Satan is just wasting his time running up to heaven. He's just wasting his time because you have been declared righteous. It's a legal term. The case has already been thrown out. You are permanently justified in Jesus Christ. Now, he'll accuse you, but it will be for naught. It won't go anywhere. The case will always be thrown out. Why? Because you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You're not justified because you're good. You're justified because Jesus is your advocate. And then look at verse 34, which is even more amazing.
Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
Who will condemn you? Look at the picture. When Satan is accusing you, who's right there by your side interceding for you? It's Jesus. So this is why the prophet Isaiah, and he's known as the fifth evangelist. Isaiah, throughout church history, has been known as the fifth evangelist because even in his prophetic book, he is preaching the gospel. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment shall stand condemned. This is the gift that God gives to his servants. You're blessed. You have nothing to fear. Knowing this now, you should take your life now and just serve the Lord with your entire being. This is your gift from God, that no man, no group of men, no devil, no group of demons will ever lay a finger on you, because God has sent his Son, and Jesus has paid it all. You transfer him your guilt, and he transfers to you his righteousness. You are righteous now in Christ. You are the righteous of the Lord. And that's why I included the Amplified Bible, because it really brings out what the Hebrew is saying. It says, this peace, this righteousness, this purity, which is eternal. This is what we call eternal security. This triumph over opposition of all kinds is the heritage of the servants of Christ. Those people in whom the ideal servant, meaning Jesus, is Jesus being reproduced in you? Are you, as Paul says to the church of Ephesus, we are being conformed to the image of his dear Son. Is Jesus being reproduced in you? If you're a servant of the Lord, this is your gift from God. No weapon formed against you, no tongue that rises up against you shall destroy you. You are protected of God. And for that, we ought to give God praise. Well, I'll be back tomorrow to finish up this series, this fourth part. I want to leave you with George Beverly Shea again with this song. There's a song in the air, and I hope you're singing it.
In the air, there's a star in the sky, there's a mother's deep prayer, and a baby's low cry, and the star rings its fire by the beautiful scene, for the manger of Bethlehem. from the heavenly throng, and we shout to the lovely evangel.